From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Our co-host Robert Siegel is in New York this week, reporting on government efforts to shore up financial institutions. This afternoon, he spoke with one of the leading figures on Wall Street.
Yesterday, Lloyd Blankfein, the chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs, was addressing the Council of Institutional Investors conference in Washington when he was interrupted at the podium by two women holding up a pink banner that read, "We want our money back."
Hi, sir.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
We'd like our money back.
Yeah? Okay. How about this? I'll address that at the end. They've seen it, and then I'll address that at the end if you get off now.
Thank you.
Okay.
The money in question, of course, was the TARP, Troubled Assets Relief Program funds that Goldman Sachs has received. Mr. Blankfein handled that interruption with confidence befitting the head of a firm that has produced two recent Treasury secretaries, Democrat Robert Rubin and Republican Henry Paulson, and perhaps with the confidence of a man who is now extremely wealthy, but who grew up the son of a postal clerk in a Brooklyn public housing project. During the question and answer period following his speech, the two women returned. Today, Mr. Blankfein is back at his office in New York. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
You acknowledged yesterday that manners aside, the questions that those people were posing, why should taxpayers bail out Wall Street bankers, when do we get our money back, were sentiments that are real, visceral, shared by many people, maybe yourself at times.
And I said shared by myself. If I didn't say it, I certainly was thinking it, that I was there before that conference, and I was interesting to the conferees because I'm chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs, but I'm also a taxpayer, and I'm also a citizen, so I share some of those feelings as well.
So what are the answers? When does Goldman Sachs give its money back to the government?
I will tell you precisely when Goldman Sachs gives its money back. As soon as we are able to, while still being able to perform our function in the capital market system, subject to the approval of our regulators.
But is being able to in that case, meaning needing the say-so of the regulator, or looking at your balance sheets right now, you just couldn't do it?
What I'm saying, and again generically, because as you know, there's a process underway, which is a supervisory process of our regulator, which means that we can't discuss it. But I'm giving you my opinion of what the generic attitude should be, which is that the money that banks got from the taxpayers was never meant to be permanent capital, and it wasn't the options of the bank to hold on to it, but rather the obligation of the bank that as soon as it was able to do it, to return the money, while still performing that important purpose of intermediating and lending, then the obligation was to return it immediately.
It follows logically from that at this moment, you would not be able to continue to play that role if you didn't still have the federal money. That's
why?
What one would infer from that. Because if you would be able to, then you would return the money.
No, we're still subject to the approval of the regulator.
So it's the regulator's approval that's key there.
Well, it's at least key there. But again, I can't talk about our own situation vis-a-vis the regulator. But certainly, while the regulator is performing its survey of the banks, it's kind of logical that no one would be able to do it before then.
I want to ask you about something you addressed in your speech yesterday, which was compensation. You talked about how there has to be a structure for figuring out how much bankers make that is related to success over the long term, and it shouldn't be contrary to failure, let's say, in the long term. One of the reviews you got from Stephen Perlstein of The Washington Post this morning to your speech was, good speech, a good start, but what he misses here is the structure of compensation on Wall Street isn't the problem with the American public. It's the scale of it. It's the amounts that rankle now that the public is so deeply into the financial sector. What do you say to that?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that the amounts rankle. The amounts that people get paid, the amount I pay for, a lot of things would annoy. But again, in our system, there are markets for things. There are markets for talent. There are markets for people who can draw people into movies, work in theater, baseball players. As long as the markets are working correctly and are not impeded, I'm generally agnostic on what the price is that gets in there. If he knows that this activity is only worth that much money and sets a price, that's generally not the way the system works.
Well, there's an argument, though, that if compensation is so high, as it has been, that it might actually encourage risks that are imprudent.
I think you can say this about anything. When you're going to intervene in markets and prices, the consequence you'll get is if you make people keep prices artificially high, then you'll get more attention than the market otherwise would have gotten to. And if you depress prices, then talent will flow away from that into something else.
But again, a lot of people hearing that now, a lot of people who aren't in the financial sector say, where would it go? That is, where would the talent leave Wall Street for in today's market?
I'll accept the premise that the numbers in the benefit of hindsight, of course, look much too high, because today they'd never be those numbers, because today people aren't creating that kind of value. And so it's almost a foreign thought that we ever could have been in that world. But let me transport you back to 2006 and 2005. And in those years, Goldman Sachs actually had issues retaining our talent. And I think it's kind of well known that a lot of the people who created private equity firms and hedge funds were people who were alumni of our firms. And they weren't alumni who necessarily ran through their whole careers and retired from Goldman Sachs. They were people who, in their prime of their careers, when they were still creating enormous value for the shareholders of Goldman Sachs, decided that they had more lucrative alternatives outside the firm.
How much has life changed for you because of the role that Washington has taken in response to the financial crisis?
Well, let me say, this may or may not be the way you intended, but as a result of us having public money, it is very much on the forefront of our minds that we have public money, and since money is fungible, we're very, very careful how we spend the money and how it appears that we're spending the money. So it certainly affects our behavior, and you know something? It should affect our behavior.
But I mean, you mentioned the other day that it means that when you have a conference, for example, in the past the conference might have been meetings in the morning and a round of golf in the afternoon. Now it might mean meetings in the morning.
Well,
Some things rankle,
but there's also a couple of other things. Things don't, you know, in the context that we're operating, even putting the TARP aside, you know, this is a kind of a new atmosphere in the world. Things don't look the same. If we were not in the TARP today, I think the round of golf still feels a little bit different than it would have felt 2 years ago. Now, by the way, there's a business purpose to the round of golf. We're not playing, you know, it's not as if people at Goldman Sachs are playing golf within each other when they should be laboring at their desks. We're engaging with our clients in a context in which people can be more friendly, share more information, become closer, all with a commercial purpose, which is in the best interest of our shareholders. There was nothing wrong with it then, but I'd say it does have a different feel in the context of so much distress.
Well, Lloyd Blankfein, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Lloyd Blankfein is chairman and CEO of the Wall Street bank Goldman Sachs. He spoke to us at his office in Manhattan.
And we've started a new feature on our website. It's called The Question. We ask newsmakers what books they read or what music they enjoy. Again, that's The Question. See the answers at npr.org.